WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli army's declared a ceasefire in Gaza underway. Israelis and Palestinians both hopeful.
Such a happy moment for all Israelis and for all the Middle East.
I'm so happy the war is over, she said. I hope I can return to my normal life, my school, and my home.
President Trump's effort to bring the two sides together snubbed. The Nobel Peace Prize goes to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. CBS's Vicky Barker.
The committee praising Machado for uniting the opposition around shared democratic values.
At a time when democracy is under threat.
The Columbus Day weekend is here, and the government shutdown could pose a problem for holiday travelers. CBS's Michael Toscano.
The FAA has been flagging air traffic control facilities for low staffing levels in recent days, as some air traffic controllers expected to work despite not getting paid call in sick instead.
CBS News. Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids ATV-UTV ordinance was a topic on the agenda again during last night's Public Works Committee meeting. Alderperson Madeline Palmquist opened the discussion.
I made this referral after being contacted by a handful of residents from our surrounding communities.
The Wisconsin Rapids ATV-UTV ordinance that was passed earlier this year is different from the one voted down by residents last November. It only allows recreational vehicle traffic on County Road Z, Griffith Avenue, for about 600 feet. Palmquist also said the council made an effort to address concerns they heard from residents who voted against it last fall before they passed the current ordinance.
Such as age, insurance, having a valid driver's license.
This stretch of road is shared with Wood County, which allows ATV-UTV traffic, and it does give the recreational vehicles access to Quick Trip and Walmart on that end of town. However, there are some property owners in Grand Rapids and Port Edwards, for example, who end up landlocked, either because the road they live on is owned by the City of Wisconsin Rapids, or it's half and half, and people don't want to violate the rules of the city. Palmquist said she's hearing from people who are frustrated they can't access their open roads.
This referral would just add additional roadways to our existing ordinance and not change any of the rules.
Wisconsin Rapids is an island surrounded by counties that do allow ATV-UTV traffic, including Wood County itself, which allows ATV drivers as young as 12 when accompanied by an adult. Palmquist said the existing ordinance came to be because at the end of the day, they want to be good neighbors. The Public Works Committee requested a list of roadways that are shared by municipalities before any further action is taken. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Cubs and the crew at 2-2. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It happened again. First inning, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta on the mound. Bottom of the first, two men on. The Cubs, Ian Happ at the plate on TBS.
Happ with a drive, right field, way back there, gone! Ian Happ takes Freddie Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
The Cubs went on to win last night 6-0 to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
Going into a winner-take-all Game 5, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can't force. Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. Hopefully, the tables will turn when we get into Game 5 at our place.
NBA, the Bucks with another preseason win, 117-111 over the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness. A powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, you've heard the voice, First and 10 Wisconsin, and Ron Dane. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Nice to hear your voice again, because it's now accurate. We're back here on the shores of Lake Wissota in beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, on a Friday morning, October 10th, 2025. It's nice to have you along from wherever you're listening, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us on YouTube or Facebook, either the Civic Media sites or the Up North News sites. We appreciate you wrapping up the week right here. Alicia right away on YouTube saying welcome home. Thank you, Alicia, very much. Certainly appreciate that. I got a question for you, and it's a slam dunk. Is there anything like sleeping in your own bed? It's nice to travel. Don't get me wrong, especially when you're seeing family. But after several nights away, boy, did I sleep like a baby last night. Part of the reason being I just did not have confidence that the Brewers were going to pull it off, and they most certainly did not pull it off last night. So we go to an elimination game. One game, winner take all, Brewers-Cubs coming up Saturday night at American Family Field. Let's check in with producer Parker Olson and see if, once again, he stayed up way too late for the disappointment of a Brewers loss in Chicago. Nope, he looks a little bit more awake, just entirely disillusioned. Mr. Olson, good morning.
Is it a good morning, Pat? I don't think it's a good morning, Pat.
For me, I slept in my... When I went to bed, and whatever, I don't forget what the score was, 4-1 or whatever at that point, and I had...
We didn't score, Pat.
Or 4-0, yeah, whatever it was. You're right, because I went to bed thinking, you know, my guess was that I was going to wake up and find out that the final score was 11-0, and it wasn't. Yeah. It was 6-0, right? And that was enough. So yeah. It just, I mean, when you see Freddie Peralta, you know, again, much like you know, Quinn Priester, just not able to hit their points, yeah. And it's not like they haven't played at Wrigley Field before. So why are you letting the Cubs crowd get to you? But they did. And, you know, the Brewers' bats didn't have any answer. And so those two games at Wrigley are as forgettable as they come, unless the Brewers lose tomorrow, and then they won't be forgettable. We will always be talking about messing up those two games at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, there were a couple of times last night where the Brewers had a couple of, like, decently hard-hit balls, but they were straight at somebody. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of just like the signal that it's not going to be your day, because that tends to be how the Brewers work. They put the ball in play, something happens, they get on base, they manufacture runs. But that was absolutely not working yesterday. And to your point, too, yeah, the pitching, for whatever reason, that first inning is such a bugaboo. And Freddie Peralta, he's not, I've said this before, he may be a little bit of a Cy Young candidate, but he's not exactly a pleasant watch.
I mean, again,
no matter how good he's doing,
they call him Fastball Freddy for a reason, but it's just not it's not consistent enough that he might get some votes for the Cy Young Award, but he's not going to win it.
And it's, I don't think it's so much the inconsistency. I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do.
He said that last night. Yeah, he said he felt consistent.
He's entirely uncompetitive when he's ahead in a count, and it's frustrating as all get out.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's the short version of what happened, and Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk about that, to talk about, you know, the deciding Game 5 tomorrow at American Family Field. And I can tell you right now that because it's the last game of all the league series, there's an American League elimination game tonight, so that's at 7 o'clock, and then the National League elimination game will be tomorrow night, so that one is now at 7 o'clock, and so coverage will begin Saturday at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations across the network. As for the other series, we'll just cover those real briefly here. It was a case of finding out that, you know, either the Cubs or the Brewers are going to play the Dodgers. The Dodgers move on one of the craziest, most frustrating, dumbest plays that will haunt Philadelphia Phillies fans for the foreseeable future, where the Dodgers have a runner on third. The Dodger hitter, it's a comebacker to the pitcher, but he bobbles it. He could have either thrown to first and got the third out or threw it home. He chose to throw it home after bobbling it, and, I mean, he threw it just a bit outside, and that was it. Dodgers score on a weird muffed throw. It had to go, what, 20 feet from the pitcher to the catcher?
It wasn't
and
close.
He missed the catcher wildly, and the Dodgers advance. So
that was so hard to watch. I felt so bad for that guy.
Oh, for him and for all the fans. So the Dodgers move on and wait to see if they play the Brewers or the Cubs, because it also determines home field advantage. If the Brewers win, then the National League Championship Series will start in Milwaukee on Monday night, and the Brewers will have the home field advantage. If the Brewers lose to the Cubs, then they'll take on the Dodgers, but the Dodgers will have the home field advantage starting on Monday. Meanwhile, in the American League, like I said, there's a clinching game tonight. That will be Detroit at Seattle. Tigers versus Mariners, 7 o'clock tonight. The winner will travel to Toronto for the American League Championship Series, Game 1, which will be Sunday night. So, any chance we can get Brandon Woodruff back by tomorrow? I'm just thinking about our pitchers.
That's the other stupid thing about it, is it seems like once Woodruff went down, everything went out the window. Nothing is going well.
Yeah. The air just went out of the balloon. It felt like, not entirely, because obviously we still have had some big innings.
Yeah.
But pitching wise, it just hasn't been everything that we would want it to be. While we're on the subject of sports here, of course, we've got high school football tonight on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then, of course, we've got Badger football tomorrow. The Badgers taking on Iowa. And again, let me clarify, because I said it wrong multiple times this week. The Badgers are home against Iowa. It's a homecoming in Madison. Coverage begins tomorrow at 4 on several Civic Media stations. And then on Sunday, the Packers are back in action, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock for a 3:25 kickoff on several Civic Media stations. Again, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. It's going to be a little weird for the Packers to face Joe Flacco again, since they faced him as the Cleveland Browns quarterback a couple of weeks back, and now they're facing him as the newly acquired Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
I wonder how many times this has happened, that a team has played against the same quarterback twice in a season, but not on the same team.
Not much.
It can't be, right?
I mean, no, mid-season trades of a quarterback don't happen much. And within the division.
And to be a starter.
The AFC, and to be a starter. Yeah, just that is that caught everybody's attention. And certainly, does that help the Packers because they've played him already? You know, who's to say? Because he's only one of 11 people there behind the ball. So, Badger women's volleyball, they are 7th ranked in the country. They will travel to Penn State tonight to take on the Nittany Lions there. And so we'll follow all of that and have some results Monday morning for you along the way. We mentioned that Mike Clemens is coming up. Also ahead, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley. And again, forgive the strong language here, but we're going to talk about another stupid thing said by Robert Kennedy Jr., somehow connecting autism to circumcision via Tylenol in baby boys. And there is a meme in like the movie Airplane where first one person puts their face on their head, and then other people do, and then like the entire theater audience puts their hand on their head.
Audible facepalm.
I felt like that was the entire medical community yesterday, and that was just one of several things. I mean, let's just say Dr. Lyerly is what's the phrase, loaded for bear. She is ready to talk about this. So
I have yet to see this clip, and I am a little worried.
Yeah, you should be. We'll also have, of course, our regular Week in Review panel with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And, of course, one of the big topics this week deals with President Trump being able to send the military into cities just willy-nilly. And let me put it to you this way. How do you think people in Oklahoma, let's say Tulsa, how do you think people in Tulsa would feel if a Democratic president sent the Illinois National Guard into their city? So troops from Chicago basically invading Tulsa, because that's essentially what's happening in reverse with people in Chicago, as red states are complying with President Trump's desire to play soldier, to play general. Well, we can say that out loud, but you know who else said it out loud? A top Republican official in the state of Oklahoma. One of the few Republicans speaking up, going, that's not how this country is supposed to work. That's not how our system of federalism is supposed to work, where the president can send troops from one state into another state without that governor's permission. This isn't a case of, oh, there's some kind of insurrection, there's some kind of national emergency. Trump says there is, except for this one problem. There's not. He's sending people into Chicago that just had a summer with the least amount of murders since 1965. Okay. These are made up things that distract from the shutdown where they're trying to inflict maximum pain, distract from the ongoing cover up of the Epstein files, and distract from the fact that inflation is still very persistent for the American consumer. It's a distraction from Americans who are just now starting to realize how much more expensive their health insurance premiums are going to shoot up because Republicans in Congress voted for that big bloated boondoggle, which removed the affordable from the Affordable Care Act. But the president has figured out a way to make this all about, you know, make that, all that go away. And let's talk about whether troops should be in Chicago and in Portland and in Memphis and in Washington, D.C. and every place else. So we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about that, along with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. You go over that and some of the other stories of the week. Now, of course, we've got stories that we're following here at Up North News. I'm putting together our weekend newsletter, and that will include our question of the week, which this past week was all about, you know, who would be your first choice in the Democratic primary for governor? Well, needless to say, this Sunday's edition is going to be kind of a reset on the race because Josh Call decided not to run for governor. Missy Hughes jumped into the race for governor. And there are still other rumblings out there, names like Mandela Barnes, names like Ron Kind that are being bounced around. So to what degree is the field set yet? We'll kind of give you a reset in this weekend's newsletter, and we'll come up with a new question of the week. And if you want to be among the first to see it and respond to it, then head over to upnorthnewswi.com. That's our homepage there, and click on subscribe in the top banner. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but gosh golly, do we love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9 across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. So a lot to cover here, including in just a bit, we're going to talk about, again, the hypocrisy of saying support our troops and thank you for your service when that's not really what's happening. That's coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is 6:20, just about 6:23 now on this Friday morning. Sorry, I was just sipping some coffee. It's so good, not just to sleep in your own bed, but to have your own coffee again. Just all the comforts here. My chair feels better. The lighting feels better. My face now has a color that appears in nature once again.
You do look better.
Thank you. I feel better compared to the weird lighting in hotel rooms and guest bedrooms and things like that. Still got to work on yours over there, man. I mean, you are, as I discovered being there a week before last, you are a handsome young man.
Shucks.
You'd never know watching this show. It's and it's not your fault at all.
No.
So we'll worry about that later. But it's nice to have things. Everything is back where it needs to be. My Roy Kent coffee mug for Fridays is here. The coffee tastes better. Yeah. You know what else is better is being back into the regular routine of checking things on my own computer, which includes Civic Media's new daily newsletter. It's filled with lots of links to show highlights and more. Head over to Substack. Specifically, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com, and be a part of it all. Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point brings up the news that is rather sad, especially for college basketball fans. Sister Jean Schmidt, the Loyola basketball superfan and team chaplain, died at age 106. She became a sports world celebrity at the age of 98 as the number one fan for Loyola University during their Cinderella run in the NCAA Final Fours. but has passed away now at the age of 106. Roger, thank you for letting us know about that. Let's see. We also had Tony commenting on YouTube about potential gubernatorial candidates. First, he goes, Tom Nelson, with a big explanation point. And then Luke Mathers with a big exclamation point. He also says that he appreciates the new lighting. Thank you. Because he says Parker is ghost white in person too, right? No, no, he's not. He's nobody looks normal in that room.
It's close.
But we're gonna work on it. He also says, are we going to talk about Emily Cephos running again for assembly? Yes, at some point we are. Emily Cephos, a friend of the show here, is running again in Assembly District 56. That's important because currently Assembly District 56 has a representative who does not live in the district, has been playing fast and loose with his residential address. And Emily thought that it might be time once again for residents in that Fox Valley area district to have a representative who would represent them by living in the place that they're supposed to represent. So, yes, we will most definitely be talking to Emily all about that in the coming days as well. But for the moment, I just want to talk about a real pet peeve of mine and my ongoing mission to help more people understand that the politicians who are loudest about back the blue and support the troops and thank you for your service are sometimes the most hypocritical when it comes to actual backing and support and gratitude. The most recent example could be seen late yesterday in the nation's capital as the Senate passed a new defense policy bill, a $925 million bill that's going to talk all about some of the broad policy of the military and the outlines of the Pentagon budget whenever the government does open again. But they did not include a provision in there that would have kept paying the troops during a government shutdown. Because most federal employees will not get paid next week. And the same goes for soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and all who support them. They could have changed that. The bills are going to keep coming, but the paychecks will not. Of course, this all happened at the same U.S. Capitol where insurrectionists beat and maimed scores of law enforcement officers. And yet, has there been anything other than indifference as their party leaders pardoned those domestic terrorists? While we're on the subject, these are the same people who in D.C. and in Madison and elsewhere pass budgets that squeeze local coffers already hard-pressed to pay for police and other law enforcement. Talk is cheap when it comes to backing the blue if you don't really fund who it is that you claim to support. And of course, we've covered active duty troops and law enforcement. Let's not forget veterans who face higher probabilities of homelessness and suicide and drug addiction and other things. The people who beat the drum hardest for war and for supporting our troops sure have a funny way of showing it lately. At the federal level, of course, we can talk all about the cuts to the VA healthcare system. We have talked about them. There will be more to come. And then closer to home, two shelters to help homeless veterans had to shut down in the state because Republicans zeroed out the budget for them, even as it turns out, when there might be free resources being offered. According to a report from WQOW-TV in Eau Claire, a contractor has been willing to work with the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs to replace the aging Klein Hall facility in Chippewa Falls at no cost for the construction, only the cost to lease it once it's built. A Department of Veterans Affairs spokesperson, or an official rather, confirmed that they were working with the company on the offer, but the funding needed to enter the contract didn't go through because Republican leadership isn't exactly rushing to embrace what now turns out to be free help for veterans. Again, we've talked several times about this being the legislature's fall session, but it has been plodding along, even as these facilities for homeless veterans had to stop operations and shut down. But again, we're seeing where their real priorities are when it comes to our veterans, to our military, and to law enforcement. And I just want people to keep that in mind whenever you hear the pithy sayings like, back the blue and support our troops. Talk is cheap. Coming up next, today's history lesson. How about this for a rundown? David Lee Roth, Neil Diamond, Greg Bach, and former Vice President Spiro Agnew. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced yesterday they were suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in four southern Wisconsin counties. Catch is, they didn't tell the poultry show organizers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. More on that next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Dan Schwant of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club says he's mad. They had a show scheduled for this Saturday at the Jefferson County Fair Park and found out through friends that the show was canceled. He said he received no notification from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
I already started with the setup process. I already had emptied all the cooping out of the semi-trailer, and then all of a sudden a friend of mine messaged me and said, hey, did you see what the dad cap did? And so that was news to me, and I was like, what? Because I checked my email, there was nothing there. And I called another one of our members and asked her, and she said she had received nothing either. So, and then it was just fun, saw it on the website there. And so we've had to cancel one of our previous events because of the AI, and they contacted me in advance and said, hey, I had to cancel. Or this time I had nothing.
That's a surprise. Dan Schwant, the secretary of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club, they were having their annual fall swap on Saturday. But now the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in Jefferson, Waukesha, Walworth, and Rock counties until the end of the calendar year. More at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
And congratulations to Kurt Larson from Reedsburg. He's been selected as the new president of the Wisconsin Beef Council Board of Directors. Larson is the current president, CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He'll also act as the state's representative on the Federation of State Beef Councils. There's food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Starting today's history lesson with little David Lee Roth for his 71st birthday, born this day in 1954 in Bloomington, Indiana. Just a Gigolo, which it was decades later that I learned that that was actually not some kind of an original song. I thought it was just some funny thing he put together. It's like an old-timey song. It goes like way, way back. Very few people know that, but Greg Bach did. And Greg Bach joins us, as always, on Fridays for our history lesson. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning to you, Pat. Good morning to Parker. Good every day. I'm sorry. I'm very tired. Very tired.
You know what you need? You need more pumpkin spice.
I need more pumpkin spice.
Okay. Get it flowing.
I'm just a Gregolo everywhere I go.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. That song's from like 1930 or something. Like it's from the late 20s or early 30s.
I know that a year or two back we... it was Louis Prima. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
1929.
Yeah.
Is when it first came out. And, you know, again, it was much more not romantic, but almost serious. And David Lee Roth, of course, turned it into something fun and goofy.
I'm just a gigolo, man. Yep. Everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I wrote this. Really deep within self-reflective tune, man. Music is weird. Okay, hi, good morning.
Hey, no, nice to have you here. And David Lee Roth, of course, who, you know, when he left Van Halen, did have a good solo career. And Van Halen went on just fine with Sammy Hagar after that. So
I just, two things about that. First of all, I did not know until this moment that he was from Bloomington, Indiana. He had to be the most annoying kid in Bloomington, Indiana.
I don't know. What town did David Letterman grow up in? I mean,
that makes sense, though, in Indiana. Like, he's got more of an Indiana Midwest vibe of, like, the dry, sarcastic wit, whereas you just see a little David Lee Roth doing cartwheels down the main street. Like, he's got to get out of here. He's got to leave. He's never going to farm. He's weird. And also... I just also like the idea, like, hey, I'm in the biggest rock band in the world. You know what I should do? Go out on my own, because that will go real well.
Yeah. It gets you a hit or two, but that's truly about it.
So. Yeah.
Name ID. Well, anyway. Come on.
Yep, exactly. A couple of other birthdays, both of them involving presidential aspirations. There's Bradley Whitford from the West Wing and Wisconsin's own, who is 66 years old today. And then California Governor Gavin Newsom is 58 years old today. So could you see a day, maybe, you know, the next presidential campaign, it's the Gavin Newsom Bradley Whitford ticket? That would get some votes.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Wow.
That was
unexpected. All right. Well, let's instead get back to the music, because on this day in 1970, the number one song was by Neil Diamond. What's your Neil Diamond impression these days?
Not existent.
Not as good as Neil Diamond. Yeah. That was the number one song this day in 1970. Hey, I got a couple of more birthdays of people who might have presidential aspirations. Happy birthday, Brett Favre. He is 56 years old today.
Like, you're a mean lap. Man, dude.
And
he's already really big into funding stuff, so.
Yeah, see? And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 51 years old today. And I'm sure a few NASCAR folks would, you know, still do that. They'd support him. On this day in 1992, Garth Brooks' album, The Chase, debuted at number one on the album chart with tracks that included That Summer and this single.
We were free to live.
anyone we choose. When this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship.
When the whole Bud Light debacle happened, was that like 1,000 years ago or was it like 6 months ago? I don't remember now.
Somewhere in between, yeah.
But, you know, the Bud Light thing happened, then Kid Rock decided to beat up some beer with a gun, and then he said, I'm not serving Bud Light in my bar anymore, and people were like, yeah, and then Garth Brooks was opening up his Nashville bar, and they're like, are you going to do that? He goes, yes. If people want to drink Bud Light, I'll serve it. Like, he just was like, this is dumb. Why am I talking about this right now?
Yes, which is completely in keeping with who he is.
Yeah.
And why, at that point, a lot of the Bud Light thing, people went like, yeah, okay, yeah, people should be able to drink what they want to drink.
Yeah.
You know? Who are we to dictate your beer? So, yeah, it's Garth Brooks' it is Friday, isn't it, after a day of travel. Garth Brooks' album The Chase debuted at number one this day in 1992. Garth Brooks was one of many cameos, Greg, in the series I still am plodding through on the flight down and on the flight back, the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh, my gosh.
And Garth Brooks has some, you know, just incredible comments about Billy Joel. And I really wanted to finish it yesterday, but I couldn't get it done before the Brewers game started. And it's fine because I would have hogged up the whole show today. Whenever I finish this thing, we're basically doing a Billy Joel appreciation show.
Will you do that? Like start it on a Friday when I'm, because I could talk about that for hours. I watched it in one sitting. I'm like, I'll start watching it. And I'm like, 9 hours later.
I know. It's a beast. And you keep thinking, okay, this thing's probably wrapping up now. And it doesn't, but it doesn't drag on. The next story is just as compelling as the one before.
Yeah.
And I mean, the segment we could do just rattling off, say, just one or two lines of song lyrics from this song, and saying, you guys should listen to these. So you want to do that next Friday?
I would love to do that next Friday. I might have to watch it again just to freshen up.
There you go.
I will say this, though. Anytime Garth Brooks is interviewed about anything, it's always amazing because he treats every interview like he is giving a like Nobel Prize winning speech. He just treats it with such like, the thing about Billy Joel you don't understand is.
Oh, yes, he did.
His own documentary, he cries like 9 times while he's talking.
Wow. And by the way, from being in Nashville last weekend, my favorite bar there was Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks one? Nice, nice. Absolutely. I want to go back. I want to go back.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, look at that. We used up all the music from there. I guess we got to get back to doing something here.
Let's go Billy Joel's documentary was
Let's go to 1995 then, where No Doubt released their breakthrough album Tragic Kingdom with hits like Just a Girl and this one.
Okay, what year? This came out in 98?
95. And it sold 10 million copies and catapulted Gwen Stefani to stardom.
Parker, what year were you born? You were born
2003.
Okay. I'm not. Sure. This is not a setup. I'm just saying this album, Parker, this song we're playing right now, imagine hearing this song on at least 4 different radio stations a day, at least 3 times a day on each station. This song could not stop being played.
Oh, God. That's not even like that breaks the rules of what you're supposed to do.
And on top of that, this was back when MTV was playing videos, too. So the video plays like 5 times a day.
Yes. Yeah, the world was quick to embrace Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
They like her. She's a good voice. She stands out.
She's certainly embracing Jesus and Trump lately.
Anyway, on this day in 1845 in Annapolis, Maryland, the school that would become the United States Naval Academy opens with 50 students. And so I believe for our favorite Navy veteran, Alicia, we have to do a shout out to her for that. On this day in 1946 was born the late singer-songwriter John Prine, who passed away in 2020. It's the 65th birthday for Eric Martin of the band Mr. Big. Were they a one-hit wonder? Did they have?
Yeah, they were. Okay. But I will say this song slaps, and another song that was everywhere on contemporary radio. You could not get away from it. The you know, the hair band that had all the rockin' tunes, and then they had their sensitive ballad. But their bass player and guitar player are two of, like, the best players in music. Like, they were so good, but you're like, oh, like, you had no idea, because it's a very simple song.
It is, but in 1991, late 91, early 92, it was everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Also born this day in 1917, Thelonious Monk, the jazz pianist and composer. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to singer Maya, who is 46 years old today. Maya, that's her name, Maya Harrison. She was born in Washington, D.C., and her parents chose her name to honor the poet Maya Angelou. Let's see. Here's the birthday that I saved till last. Tanya Tucker. She is 67 years old today.
If ever a biopic needs to be made, it's about Tanya Tucker's life.
It's got to be her. She was, like, officially the first bad girl of country music, right?
I would say documented, where it was out in the world, where people were like, oh, wow, this is... Like, I'm sure there were a lot of females out there in country music who could live it up with the boys, but she made the headlines.
Yes. Yeah, this was no little Tammy Wynette stand by your man thing.
No. She was more like... She was more like, throw him out of the window and keep his stuff.
That's exactly it. Oh, let's see. Now I promised a little Spiro Agnew here, because rock on! In today's history lesson, two mentions. First off, in 1970, when Spiro Agnew was the vice president. Imagine this happening today. This could not happen today. But in 1970, the head of the FCC dressed down the vice president of the United States after Spiro Agnew complained that radio stations were playing too many songs about drugs. And the statement from the FCC chair said, if we really want to do something about drugs, let's do something about life. The songwriters are trying to help us understand our plight and deal with it. It's about the only leadership that we're getting. They're not really urging you to adopt a heroin distribution program, Mr. Vice President. Could somebody have the spinal fortitude to say something like that today, please?
First of all, I just want to be like, Pat, you know this as well as I do. Mm-hmm. Bands back then were not exactly writing about the plight of drug use. Some of them were writing about the awesomeness of drug use that they were finding. So, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing, and it's so perfectly lit. Like, dear Vice President, I'm here to tell you that this is, I think about this, Pat, every day now. I think about someone in one of these departments just going, no, and then going back to work.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Or just go up to the bank of microphones and go, no, make me, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Just that, please. But that was 1970. 3 years later on this date, Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with federal income tax evasion. As part of a local corruption investigation in Baltimore County involving public officials, architects, and contractors, it was learned Agnew was not only getting kickbacks as Maryland's governor, the payments continued even after he became vice president, including a $10,000 cash payment made at the White House. Are you listening, Tom Homan, current voter czar, who got $50,000 in a bag? Agnew would go on to have an extremely blemished business career in political consulting, largely based on his hatred of Israel. He died in 1996 at the age of 77. Yeah, history not being kind to Spiro Agnew, and rightly so.
I think Spiro Agnew wasn't kind to himself.
No, not at all. Thank you, Greg, for helping us out with today's history lesson. We still have our week in review panel coming up as well. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Paid for by term provider. Premiums will vary. Plans depend on age, location, and other factors. Visit BigBlue.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085 or biglou.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this Thursday, October 9th, 2025, I have your host, James, here, joined right now by our great friends from UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. We got Anna Mitchell with us, regional natural resource educator. Anna, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, James.
You know, I love talking to you. I love learning. I love our conversations, and especially when we get to talk about really interesting, fun things that you guys are doing at Extension or a combination of others with Extension. And we're going to talk about the value of community science and science by the river.
Yes, we are. So community science is a form of research that provides everyone, regardless of your background, an opportunity to contribute to meaningful data collection to further scientific understanding and key issues. So community science opportunities are so abundant in our world, but a lot of the times they go super unnoticed and unmentioned, which is kind of a shame because community science efforts have advanced and informed a lot of different fields and projects.
You know, Anna, I agree with everything you said there. Looking at this from the outside, why do researchers and those in the industry promote and rely on community science?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different reasons. So researchers and those within like the research community really rely on community science because it engages community members, and researchers by themselves can only collect so much data, right?
Yeah,
so if you can get people on board and passionate about a subject to help, you know, collect different data and just get really engaged and passionate about whatever field that they're in, that's always a benefit, not just to you know, researchers, but also to the community members.
One of the things that I've just really, really enjoyed about doing this job and sitting in this chair is I love talking to people that are passionate about something. I don't care what the topic is. They're passionate about it. They can get me engaged in it. And everybody we have join us is that type of person, including yourself and everything. Now, that said, community science isn't something new. This is something that's been around.
Yeah, community science has been around for quite a while. In fact, it's been around since the 1800s when Alexander von Humboldt, which was a naturalist and explorer, traveled to South America in the early 1800s, and he was one of the very first people to describe humans' roles in climate change. So he had this dream of uniting communities through scientific observation. So what he did was establish a series of observing stations throughout the world. And the goal was that he could coordinate a global study of the Earth's magnetism. So if you could think about that, that's people, like an effort in the 1800s to connect people from around the world to study Earth's magnetism.
Early day messenger.
Right? Did they send a passenger pigeon?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta wonder. A whole different meaning to tweeting. That's so darn cool. Before these notes, I had not read about this, and I put aside the rabbit hole I'm going to go down with this one. I'm so excited to read more about that. What an interesting moment. What an amazing human being to think about that, and then to pull it off, really, because they were able to kind of pull this off and have these stations around the world.
Yeah.
It's really cool. When it comes to the challenges regarding related to natural resources, that's something else, though.
Yeah, I mean, we hear a lot about challenges in natural resources today. I mean, there's so many out there. It can feel so daunting. Like, even as somebody who works in natural resources, it can feel overwhelming, right? But there's so many people that are working on these issues, not just professional scientists that are looking for solutions. There's also politicians who are advocating for possible solutions or taking a stance on these different issues, right? And then there's the individual who's just trying to do their part, trying to educate themselves, trying to help with whatever issue, you know? And sometimes, like, we get siloed into our own individual roles, and that can feel really overwhelming. So today, more than ever, we really need to lean heavily into our community science approach, just to help not only us, but our communities learn about these different, I will say, challenges. They're not issues, they're challenges, right? If we as a community can educate ourselves, or even as an individual, you know, then we can talk to our neighbor or, you know, talk to our family about these issues. If you're passionate about it and want to learn more about a specific natural resources challenge, I really encourage you to get involved in some kind of community science program that's related to that topic.
Yeah.
Then share, right?
It's, you know, for one, I think it's really unique and quite cool when we look at society, human beings, and what we've accomplished and what we can accomplish when we work together. The previous story notes that very well, even in the 1800s, what we were able to accomplish, let alone nowadays with technology, and that we are connected as much as we are and everything. And every bit of data is important on this one.
Yeah.
And everybody working together is important on this one. When we talk about the planet, when we talk about these kind of issues, to me, I don't know that this is a divisive topic. I mean, no, not at all. We all got to live here.
Yeah.
We're all on this planet. Feels like we should probably keep this thing around.
Right.
Seems pretty self-explanatory to me. And regarding that, I think that once you get people to that mindset, you get a lot more of that data, a lot more people wanting to be a part of these things. And while this is a big issue, whatever we're talking about, any level of these things and natural resources and the importance of them, from PFAS to any other topic, they affect us all, and all of us can do some good on this one. They're not as big as us.
Right.
There's more of us than the problems.
Yeah.
And if we work together, we can face this together, and it's a lot easier.
Yes.
I know I, like a lot of kids out there, would look at a messy room as a teenager and like, how am I ever going to clean all this? But if you start in one corner and work your way around, eventually you get all right. If you attack these things, if you approach them, and I'm going to focus on this, and this person's focusing on this, little by little, this all adds up.
Yeah.
And in here in Wisconsin, we've got quite a few opportunities for this.
Oh, yeah. We have an abundant amount of community science opportunities here in Wisconsin. I was doing a little bit of research, and we actually have 34 different community science programs. Like, that's 34.
That's
just
impressive.
It is, right? So these These programs cover a huge variety of topic areas, including wildlife, invasive species, insects, water quality, birds, climate, plants, and even space. Like, if there's a topic you're interested in, odds are in Wisconsin, we have a community science program for you to get involved in.
Yeah, it's something to look into. And regarding that, it can be a bit of a broad topic.
Yeah.
There are, you know, different layers to that that might interest you a little bit more and get you more and more interested in. So.
Yeah, and in fact,
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israeli troops have begun withdrawing from parts of Gaza. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are marching north after a ceasefire took effect this morning. Linda Gradstein reports President Trump flies in soon.
President Trump will land at Ben-Gurion Airport on Monday morning and will be welcomed with a formal ceremony. He will then head straight to the Knesset in Jerusalem to deliver a speech and then return to the airport.
A hostage-prisoner exchange also set to begin Monday. The president's hopes of a Nobel Peace Prize dashed for this year. CBS's Vicky Barker.
Not Donald Trump. The Nobel Peace Prize heading instead 2,500 miles south of the White House.
Maria Corina Machado.
The Venezuelan opposition leader lives in hiding. The Trump administration will recall furloughed federal workers to put together CPI numbers. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The government needs that key inflation report to calculate the annual cost of living adjustments to Social Security payments, which have to be announced by November 1st.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deb.